Okay, can everyone hear me okay? My voice has gone a wee bit, so hopefully you'll be able to make me out. Sorry about the noisy corner over there. It's our first day back in church for a while, so it might take a little while for them to acclimatise to being quiet again. It's lovely to see everybody out today. And today, as Dave said, is really an opportunity for us to meet the family, meet the Bethany family. We're taking the opportunity to reflect on the last 3 weeks, so hopefully you will have been able to join us in person for that or to catch up online. We've been considering the seasons of life as a church family, the analogy of the tree, and so far we have looked at growing and rooted, both as young adults and moving into young families. We have had some fantastic teaching and very, very practical suggestions to help us consider how we can flourish in this season of life, whatever that may be at this time. As a teaching team, our heart behind the series was really to draw the church together after being apart for so long. And we really wanted to join together from the youngest to the oldest, regardless of age and stage, as we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We wanted to hear from our church family and some personal reflections as to how they're getting on in the season that they're in. So thank you to all our willing interviewees today. We're really looking forward to what you will share with us. So to begin with, I'm just going to ask you to give a short introduction. So we'll start with Luke and we'll work round to Tokara. Thank you.
Sure. So I'm Luke. I am 26 now. And the stage I'm in at the minute is sort of young adult in church. I got engaged recently, so that's also a stage I'm in at the minute, looking to get married in the summer. We're actually going out 4 years today. So Amy said, "Where are you taking me?" And I said, "The church." So that's our big celebration. We're going to church. And where else? Where better could you be? But yeah, so also just with work, I'm a teacher, but have been quite unsettled in that, and things haven't really been happening for me recently. So that's the sort of stage I'm in at the minute, just.
Okay, I'm Neil. I'm 12 years older than Luke. Okay, hopefully you forgot what he said. I work here in Bethany Church. I'm married to Naomi, dad to Maya, 4, Jonah, and who's 3. And we're here obviously representing the young family, so this could be a wee bit of a counselling session for both of us. So.
I'm Naomi, and we're not going to get into the age thing. I'm mum. All right. Mum, wife. I work for Mission Africa full time as short term coordinator and comms officer. So I think that's about it.
And I'm Olivia Glasgow, and I'm married to Stephen, and we live in Lisburn, and we both work full time, and I teach RE.
Hello. I'm Dakara. I'm 15. I go to Hunter House College. I'm currently finishing my GCSEs and hopefully picking my A-levels next.
Very good. Thank you. So we've been thinking about the last few weeks about the challenges that present at each stage and each season. Maybe Olivia, can we start with you? Could you share a little bit about what your current challenges look like?
So obviously I've been a young adult for 10 years now, so I don't know. So I have lots of experience in this season of life, and I would say that the challenges are different depending on what stage of being a young adult that you are. But I would say that as I look over the last 10 years, that it's been a really good opportunity to deepen my faith, travel, meet a husband, get a job and stuff like that. But there's also a lot of challenges, and I would say there's 3 main challenges for being a young adult, whatever age that you are. So I would say the first one is managing and using your time wisely. The second one is making good choices. And the third one relates to the pressure that you're under. So when I was a very young adult, I went to Stranmillis and I had lots of fun there and loads of opportunities to socialise, meet new people, which was really, really good. But sometimes it was hard to focus on your relationship with God and spending time with him because you can be distracted by so much fun and good things. but it can be hard to use your time wisely. And then whenever I left Stranmillis, I went from having like no responsibilities, just myself to worry about, to having a lot of responsibilities as a teacher. And I would say that still it's a time to, it's still difficult to manage and use your time wisely, because you can be so focused on your work that you can forget to spend time with God. And also, I suppose over the last couple of years with COVID and everything, lots of jobs have changed a lot, and teaching has changed a lot, and it's a lot more difficult, I guess. So I would say that that has been a big challenge, as well as that when you're a young adult, you have a lot of choices. So as a university student, I found that I was basically experiencing a lot of different ideas and viewpoints. And I think that these are the years that you make big choices, like who you're going to marry, what job you're going to do, whether you're going to go to church at all. So I think making good choices can be a challenge. And also, I think as a young adult, there's always pressure on you to move on to the next stage. So when you go to university, there's pressure on you to get a permanent job, and then there's pressure on you to maybe get married or find someone to get married to. And then there's pressure, maybe when are you going to have a family, and then maybe when you have your first child, when are you going to have your second child? So there's always a pressure to move on to the next stage. And I think it is really important to trust in God's timing for all of these things, and just focus on becoming who God wants you to be rather than focusing on getting to the next stage.
Thanks, Olivia. Some really good practical application there. So you've really felt that your young adult years are kind of very formative years in your life. What about you, Naomi?
Well, I have the normal challenges of being a mum and a full-time employee, with a few of my own unique challenges and circumstances thrown in there. So I don't have the three-point sermon that Olivia has, but I'm blessed with great in-laws who are really supportive, and one or two really great friends. But I do have family. My own family live all over the world. So I've got family who are in Canada, and my parents live in Thailand. And that's really difficult, even just knowing that my Maya and Jonah haven't met some of their family can be quite difficult. So yeah, then our kids are quite close in age, which brings a certain amount of chaos. We love them dearly, but I can see Maya's just watching me there, pulling things out of my bag, I can see. But they require every part of you, especially Jonah. Like, Jonah just wants your full attention all the time, which can make just doing your normal tasks quite tricky. And as I was writing this yesterday, they had both gone and locked themselves in the living room. There's not even a lock on the living room door, but somehow they managed to lock that door and keep themselves stuck in there. So that's the kind of daily challenges we have. There's always some problem to sort out, or someone to chase after. Then I've had my own health issues, which thankfully are a lot better than they were. But that has been challenging too. Within work, we've had a few redundancies as well, so that's increased our workload. And then it's just the challenge of honouring God and all those things, and bringing your children up to really know and love God within those moments. So I think that's really it.
Okay. And what about you, Neil? Is there anything that you feel that you can add to that?
Good chaos. A little example, Wednesday morning, the alarm was Naomi screaming at me, thinking our bathroom window was getting put in. She heard the big smash. She sent me into the bathroom to look, and it turned out the shower door was in a million pieces on the ground. Bit of investigating, and Maya had kicked it a few days prior, and in past where it wasn't meant to go, Naomi had pulled it back out, so there's obviously a weakness. So that was my Wednesday morning, cleaning up our bathroom with all the glass on the floor, and Naomi told me I couldn't tell her off because she had told her off a couple of days before for kicking it, so I had the hold back. But you know, it's, yeah, they're non-stop, but it's great. They've both got so much energy. Life at times can be pretty tiring, you know, kind of balancing work and social and family as well. And then in that, this whole idea of raising faith. And, you know, obviously to Naomi and I, that's very important as Christian parents, wanting to pass on our faith to Maya and Jonah, for them to experience and have it for themselves. And I know last week I shared a few verses at the Levy's dedication of the words that, you know, Moses gives to the children of Israel, how they are to love God with their heart, mind, and strength, and how they are, just let me get these verses here, you know, to commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands, repeat them again and again to your children, talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. And those words are easy to read. They flow nicely off the page, but actually living those out at home can be quite difficult. I know Jamie touched on that, you know, bedtimes when you're sitting down to read with them and pray with them, and you can stand up shouting at them because they're all of a sudden you're praying and they're on top of each other, hitting each other, and it just can get crazy. But even in that, trying to model out through our lifestyle, our actions, how we speak to each other, which isn't always good. But you know, knowing that our children are watching and soaking all that in as well. And as we want to, yes, read stories to them from the Bible, we want to pray with them, but we want to model Christ in our lives as well at home. And that's a real challenge, especially at times when, you know, one of us just wants to get in the car and drive off for, you know, I was going to say a few hours, maybe a week, you know, just to get a bit of breathing space. But Jonah and I, we would never do that to you, in case you're worrying. But yeah, it's, you know, it's such a responsibility, but it's a privilege to be able to do that, because for me, that's the most important thing for my children to get. Yes, going to school, getting grades, they're only in P1 in nursery, that's still a long way off. Sporting achievements, it doesn't really matter. I want them to grow up and trust and, you know, live lives where they follow Jesus.
Thanks, Neil. And you've kind of mentioned on that idea of intentionality in raising your children. So we're going to look at that in a wee second. But Luke, do you maybe want to tell us a wee bit about the challenge that you're facing at the minute? Or
I think for me, it's a time in my life where I have a lot of choices to make. You know, where I'm going to live in the next year or so will be different. What it'll look like for me and Amy as we sort of start life together, whereas, yeah, usually being just about myself and what I want, but it's now thinking about more than one thing, you know, where we're going to live, where we're going to worship together, choices like that that are going to be different. And then for, yeah, I said, for me in teaching, just nothing's really happened for me, and I think there's been a lot of opportunities that have looked promising, and then it hasn't worked out, and I think it's been really challenging for me. I felt really, like, I've been teaching 4 years and I've never felt settled at all. And it's just trying to understand what God's will is for that. You know, if I've prayed lots of times, I'm like, God, if you don't want me to do this, I'll walk away. And it's just never really been clear. This year in particular, over the summer, just doing a lot of teams and things, I just felt like there was maybe something else for me. So, I've been sort of looking into other things this year, and some things were sort of looking promising, and then again, it was sort of dangled in front of me and taken away, and it has been really tough, because it looked like God was leading me down a path, and then it was closed. So the thing I've learned the most is that God's really been teaching me to be patient, and that's been a theme for my life for the last couple of years, and no one likes being patient. It is tricky, and it's just trying to stay faithful and stay true in the waiting. You know, I would love to know what the future looks like, and I don't. But God has been with me in that the whole time, and he's called me to be patient and trust him, and I've just been trying to follow him where he's leading me. So that has been a challenge, you know, and I don't want to just settle for things. I think there's more. So just trying to pray into that and see where God's leading me and trust him, even if it maybe is taking a step into more of the unknown. So that's probably a challenge for me at the moment.
Thank you, Luke. And what about you, Takara? Obviously, you're at the school stage of life, which we all can remember well, maybe some of us more than others, but do you feel that you have any particular challenges at the minute, or what are you facing?
I think, like, as a young person, like, you face loads of different challenges, but especially from, like, school, social media and peers. So, like, social media is always impacting your view on things, or, like, what you view yourself on, and I think even we're living in a society that's such a people-pleasing society, and, like, you're always trying to change yourself to please someone else and not for you, so it's quite hard to see where you find, like, your identity. And even in school, like, it's always based on, like, grades, so you find your worth in grades, and, like, it's always deadlines, so so much pressure to get things done, and exams and things. And then even friends, I think, as well, finding the right friendship group and, like, to be yourself, but also trying to live out like a Christ-like. and like to try and influence them to like go the right way in life and not to go for temporary like worldly things. And finding time for God as well, like with your social life and school. You can always like seem so busy, but like just to find that time to actually dwell in God yourself. So yeah.
Thanks to Cara. So really across the age ranges, we can see there's lots of challenges, and in a few weeks' time, we are going to be looking at the more mature age groups as well, and I'm sure there'll be those same themes of prioritisation and time management and all of those things, and holding firm to your faith through all of those challenges. So as I touched on before, all of the speakers spoke of this idea of intentionality. So maybe that means the importance of being proactive and maybe being aware of the challenges that you guys have just shared with us and how you can try to work through them or overcome them with the Lord's help. Luke, for you, what does that word intentionality mean to you?
Yeah, probably to do with my time. Yeah, how can I be intentional with my time and with my relationships? It's very easy to come home from work and watch TV all night, or you know, just chill out, and it can be easy to do that, but it is harder to maybe leave the house and go and do something, especially after a long period where a lot of people were home. And it, I feel like even serving in church, it was like you couldn't really, because you weren't allowed outside your house, and you just lose that rhythm of life and becomes like the norm to just sit in. And we as humans just adapt, and our brains and our bodies adapt, and we got really good at just chilling out and staying home. And then now that we're maybe more allowed to do more things again, it is hard, like you're just not used to it. So I think being intentional with your time, you know, I think maybe for some people it's just got busy again, but I think for so long we weren't allowed to do things, and then now that we are again a little bit more, it's about, you know, maybe you as a church member haven't maybe got back into the things you were doing before, and maybe you can't, but maybe it's a new season for you. Maybe there's time to do something different. How are you using your time? Is it intentional? Are you stepping back into service? Whatever that looks like. It could be a new area you haven't been in before. Maybe it's visiting people that are lonely and isolated. There is plenty of ways for us to be involved. And it's, again, being intentional. It's not allowing yourself to kind of withdraw. It's about stepping back into the world. And it can be a scary place at times, but yeah, are we using our time for God? Are we using it intentionally?
Thanks, Luke. And what about you, Naomi? What does that idea of intentionality look like for you?
Yeah, well, obviously, as we've already said, like it can be a bit chaotic in our lives at times, and that can make it really hard to connect with people. But there's one or two people who have really been intentional with me and broken into that chaos and really blessed me quite immensely. And I believe that's the key in this season, is to connect, is either to bring people into our chaos or go along to them with our chaos. And Chris, like you did speak on that, you know, just bringing people into your home as you are, and as it is, you know, what's happening in your home. So this could be through a meal, or just even bringing people to the park as our kids play and just connecting with people. And in this season as well, it does feel like, you know, there's a long list of things that are required of me, and it's hard to know how to prioritise in that. And then there's that expectation of, you know, getting everything perfect and ticking all the boxes, which can be quite overwhelming, you know, trying to be a great mum, have a tidy house, see your friends and all that. But there's intentionality in sitting back and resisting those expectations from the world or your peers, and actually just taking time away from the noise, from Instagram, from, you know, all those things, and just hearing from God. Taking your phones away and just listen to his words, what he has to say, and knowing that you can stop and you can listen to him, and he gives you peace and motivation to carry on. So I think that's it, really.
What about you, Olivia?
One of the ways that I have been intentional over the last number of years is like, and who I choose to spend my time with. And the Bible says in Proverbs, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And as a young adult, I've always been intentional about who I choose to spend my time with. And obviously, it's really, really important to have non-Christian friends and everything, but I feel that it is really important to have choose friends who will encourage you in your walk with God and who will encourage you to reflect the love of Jesus to other people. I also think it's important to be intentional in like dating and relationships. So I think it's really important to look for a lifelong partner that has a strong Christian faith and that will keep you on the right path. And for me, finding a godly husband and godly friends has really helped me to find that this has been a season of joy, even in the difficult times. There are some ways I'm trying to be more intentional. So, for example, in my prayer life, so I really enjoyed doing the prayer course. I know it was a while ago with our small group, but I've really been trying to be intentional about my prayer life and praying, not just praying for things that I want and things that I need, but also praying to praise God and to confess and say sorry for things as well.
Thank you, Olivia. And what about you, Takara?
I think that I was encouraged by Pip whenever he was saying how he kept a day of rest in the week. So definitely finding time to have like rest with God, and even if it's not a Sunday. But I would be intentional with following up on conversations and like with my friendships and relationships. So like even if you said, oh, I'll pray for you, like definitely go back and be like, oh, how is that going? Like, how are things with that? And encourage people my age to stay connected to a church. And to actually let someone like grow with them and walk with them. But like, even it's great for like mature Christians and young adults to be intentional with young people, but it's also great for young people to be intentional with kids and how they grew up in the church, like just be praying for them. And even if you're on like the rota for Kingdom Kids, not just be there because you have to be there, but like actually want to be there and get to know the kids more. So, yeah.
That's lovely, Takara, and that leads us into our next question, the idea of interdependence. And obviously you and Lucy, it's been great having you guys with us in Young Explorers, where you're investing into the lives of our little ones as well. And Pip reminded us about the importance of interdependence as a church. So this idea of interdependence rather than independence from one another. And this whole series of the seasons of life was based on the idea of the fig tree, because Bethany, that's one of the meanings for the word Bethany, and how we're all different parts of the tree and how we're all interconnected. And we really need each other to survive, but not just survive, to thrive as a church and to grow and develop. So, Neil, do you want to just reflect on that idea of nurturing that interdependence across the generations within Bethany? Maybe, you know, there's lots of that happening already. And I know myself, I'm so blessed to be part of a small group where we have that intergenerational contact and where we have that nice link with each other where we can share and pray. But do you have any further reflections on that, Neil?
Yeah, there's one thing that stood out for me is what Pip had said. And I know church, it's not the building. It's not just all about being down here, but just that importance of coming down to connect. And one of the things that he said, if I can find it here, you know, if our approach to church corporate worship is sporadic, you know, that's what our children will grow up with. And he was talking about this, and you know, I think it's so easy at times, you know, it's that effort just to get down to church. And yes, we can do stuff online, we can do stuff from phone calls at times, but just to see people face-to-face, in person, where you can connect with the different generations. You know, as we look around this morning, it's not just being down on a Friday night seeing kids, or on a Monday night just seeing young people as well, but we're all here gathered on a Sunday, and it's a really good opportunity for us to connect and, you know, catch up with each other, find out how we're doing, show a real interest in each other as well. You know, we are meant to be a family. And I suppose if I think back to my own times, you know, growing up, maybe a moody teenager, you go up and you take yourself up to your room by yourself, you cut yourself off from that living room time and family where you get to grow and have those conversations with each other, and you find out how each other's doing and being poured into by your parents and siblings as well. I think church is a wee bit like that as well. You know, we can just stay disconnected, but there is so much wisdom and, you know, just opportunity potential in this room for older Christians to pour into younger Christian lives like myself or even below as well, and just to be there to support each other and to journey with each other as we, you know, walk this life of faith here. It's not easy. We need each other to be supporting us, to be, you know, real and, you know, praying for each other. I know sometimes we, that whole answer, you know, how are you? I'm fine. Or, you know, what can we be praying for? We're a wee bit reserved in what we share. But to be in a place where, as a family, we are more open and we can be real with each other, because, you know, I've read books before about church, you know, and how we can just fake it. And I don't want that. I don't want that for my kids growing up in church. I want this to be a place where they can be, you know, supported, not just by Naomi and I. Yes, we have that responsibility as their parents, but, you know, for each of us to pour into the lives of a three-year-old and a four-year-old. I know Takara does that along with others on a Friday night, and we are so, so thankful for that. And, you know, it kind of works both ways. Hopefully, Jonah and Maya will encourage some of you as well.
And what about you, Luke? How do you see this idea of interdependence across church, or have you experienced that?
Yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from older people in this church, especially sort of growing up, and I still want it and need it. And if anyone wants to come and like help me out, I would really appreciate it, because there's a lot of things I'm still, or like, I'm very much working through and seeking wisdom and guidance in that. So yeah, I think it does suck, and we've talked about it in our small group, that there is maybe less opportunity for mixing now, and it's just probably not completely okay. We can do it bits, but, like, you know, even thinking back to when we used to have our like fellowship lunches sometimes around in this youth center, and tea and coffee after small groups and things on Sunday nights, like, those were really good opportunities to mix. And even now, like, you have to sort of sit in your bubble, your family and things, and it is like just naturally harder to mix. So hopefully we can, you know, get to a time where that's maybe okay to do again. You maybe, again, just have to be more intentional with how you do it. You have to maybe go out of your way. But I've learned a lot from older people in church, and, you know, especially for me growing through EBR, that was probably some of my most important years of people feeding into me. And, you know, now it was a big reason I wanted to be an EBR leader, and hopefully then can, yeah, sort of reciprocate that and then share and encourage and teach the boys who are coming up now, and that's something that's really close to my heart. And yeah, just so I've learned from older ones through EBR, and sort of they've moved on, and now it's our time to then feed into the younger ones in church, and hopefully then they'll grow up and, you know, the cycle will continue. So.
Thank you, Luke. And we're just going to close things off here. So, Olivia, have you got an encouragement that you would like to share with us, or...?
Well, my encouragement was kind of related to becoming more interdependent as a church. So I think there's lots of sometimes reasons that we do, as Neil said, hold back to talk about the things that we're really finding difficult. And it could be because you may feel it's too complicated, or maybe feel it's too trivial, or maybe there's too much stigma associated with it. But I'd really encourage you to share your challenges with those around you in church. There's one of the big strengths of Bethany, I think, is there's so many caring and wise people. So I would just really encourage you to find even one or two people that you're happy to share what's going on in your life, or a prayer request that you have, no matter how trivial or small it is or how big it is. It's fine to share that. And just as well, for young adults, I would say that a good verse to think about is in Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Thank you, Olivia. Takara, do you have a wee encouragement for us?
My wee encouragement was walking God's way. So there's a wee verse in Genesis 12 verse 10, and it says, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So after Abraham arrived in Canaan, in a famine came upon the land. The crops were failing and food was scarce. God had promised to supply Abraham's needs, but when the famine came, Abraham gathered all his possessions together and went down to Egypt. This was a great test for Abraham, and he failed. So my wee encouragement was, whenever life gets tough and you feel there's nothing really you can do, to lean on the Lord. It's whenever you find trials and difficulties come your way, don't run from God, rather run to him, and to not follow the ways of the world. While we're journeying through this world, Lord has promised to lead us, protect us, and to never leave us. So definitely just lean on him. And like, there's always a positive outcome, even if it might not seem like it when it's going on, and to lean on God, but also lean on the fellowship around you.
Thank you, Takara. Very wise words indeed. You don't need to necessarily be older to be wise. So as we have reflected today and as we have thought about the last few weeks, you know, let us continue to have open minds and be willing to hear the Lord speak to us. As has been made clear each week, you know, the talk may be for young adults, it may be for more mature people, but it's for all of us to hear and for all of us to learn how to be better connected and how to better support one another in each of our walks with the Lord. Let us try not to just be consumers and thinking about the I wants, but help us be contributors. Each person here has a really invaluable role and a really important part to play in Bethany Church. So let us move forward together, as we're reminded in Thessalonians, encouraging one another and building one another up. Thank you today for all of your contributions, and it's been great just hearing some personal reflections. And as Olivia said, I would encourage you to just try to link in. I know sometimes it can seem a bit overwhelming, and maybe you don't feel the most comfortable or the most outgoing, but it is. It can be such a great blessing to try and chat to people across generations and learn from other people's life experience and their walk with God as well. So I'm just going to hand over to Dave to close. Thank you.
We're going to sing a final song. Before we do, I'm just going to pray for all of these folks. Thank you, Emma, for putting that together. I think it was really, really helpful. But Leah, let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning, Lord, for each of the folks that have come up and for the groups that they represent. And Lord, as we've listened to some of their personal stories and some of the challenges that they face, Father, we pray that these are things that, Lord, that we would keep in mind. Father, that you would help us to be a church where we continue to reach out to one another. We think about one another and how we can feed into each other's lives. Father, thank you for that idea of just interdependence, relying on each other. Father, help us to be a church that does that, that leans on you, and we can lean on each other, making sure that we build each other up and encourage each other. Father, just thank you for this series, and we really do pray that it's something that is real to us and something that has a meaningful impact on our church as we move forward, and that we would ultimately be a better witness for you. Lord, we thank you for this time, we pray in your name. Amen.